Morning.
Morning, morning, morning.
Yes, it is I'm audible. Honorable members, we need to start. It's 32 minutes past 9. Unfortunately, Chair won't be able to join the meeting. She's not feeling well, so we need to nominate an acting chairperson for the meeting. Can I get nominations, members?
Sorry, Teleki, can I just check quickly, are we correct?
Yes, we are. We are seven, yeah.
Okay, then I would like to nominate Honourable Dave Bryant as our chair. Thank you.
Can I get a second for Honourable Bryant nomination?
I'll second that.
Okay, can I have... Honourable Bryant, do you accept the nomination?
That's fine, no problem.
Oh, okay. So we need another name, member.
Chelaga, no, I don't think we need another name. I think we must just get on with the meeting, because if there's only one name, then we accept
I was just saying, I need further nomination. I have to have two names.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, there doesn't seem to be any more.
Okay, just hang on.
Okay, we don't have another name, then the meeting is collapsed. We'll have to wait for Chair to be present then.
Sorry, Telek, I'm not trying to interfere here, but I'm not sure in terms of which rule you would require two different names. I think we can just carry on. It's a brief meeting. We've only got a couple of things on the agenda.
But I think if the rule requires another nomination and there's not another nomination, then there's no meeting that can take place.
Sorry, Telek, are you there?
Diego.
I think she's consulting.
I'm consulting, ma'am.
I'm going to nominate Teleka. I'm going to nominate...
Okay. Chair, I withdraw my nomination because I can see where this is going. So let's just continue with Honourable Modise as the chairperson and then we can get on with the meeting. Okay, thanks.
All right. Honourable Modise, do you accept the nomination?
Did you not in Eastern Cape?
I'm not nominated yet, Chileka. I thought this was procedural.
Chileka, if you give me a chance, I'd like to nominate Honourable Modise to chair the meeting.
A second for Honourable Modise, please.
I second, Chair.
Thank you. Honourable Modise, you accept the nomination?
I do, thanks.
All right, thank you. Over to you.
Sorry, Chairperson, just very briefly, just quickly, if I may, I am going to query this process just going forward, just so we have clarity, because I thought the whole thing was a little bit confusing.
Okay.
And I think we need to make sure that the rules are followed correctly. But I'll check on that and I'll consult with my chief. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Mr. Medusa, over to you.
Good morning, honorable members and fellow South Africans. I know that there are people who take keen interest in this process. I am told that we are live streaming on the Parliament YouTube.
Thank you very much. Chairperson?
Honorable C?
Yeah, can we see a little bit more of your face and less of your brand new shirt? Although the shirt looks bad, but thank you.
All right. Are you able to see me properly?
Yes.
Wonderful. Wonderful. No. Without further ado, honourable members, I think we should go straight to the issues. Thanks for the nomination. I think our meeting today is very brief. We're expected to get the report back from COP26 that was held in Glasgow. That is the only item on the agenda, and from there with questions and discussions. I just got the message that the chairperson, I hear now in the meeting rather, that the chairperson is not feeling well. I think she was in the Eastern Cape. I was there too, but I had to leave earlier. I don't know what was happening there. But can we get apologies, Chileka?
Yes. Honorable Professor, we have the apology from the DG, Chair, and Honorable Gancho.
I don't want to assume all those people are from the Eastern Cape. Honorable Nkunu?
Thank you, Chair, and greetings to the honorable members. My apology will be that if we go beyond 12, I will have to leave the meeting because I'll be traveling. Thank you.
Okay. I see other mics are unmuted. Your mic is unmuted. Busisiwe, General Holomisa, NM, please mute your mics. They might cause disruptions. Thank you. Can we then get the mover for the adoption of the agenda?
I move.
Thank you, Honorable Singh. Honorable Mkunu, I see your hand again.
I second, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much. That's a mover and a seconder of the agenda. Without further waste of time, honorable members, today we are meant to get a brief report on the report on the COP26 conference that was held in Glasgow last year, and the preparations for COP27 that is scheduled to take place this year. That is one presentation in my view. It will also include the $8.5 billion the Climate Change Partnership Fund for the Just Energy Transition. Minister, can I then invite you to introduce the team and whoever will be presenting?
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning.
Recording in progress.
I apologize in advance for my voice. I've got bad flu. Honourable members, I'm joined this morning by Mr. Maisela Kekana, who is our chief negotiator, and he is accompanied by Mr. Tluromano and Mr. Jongi Witi. If there are other members of the team that I haven't noticed, I will ask Mr. Kekana to introduce them. I think the apology from the GG has already been noted. She is caught up in another commitment. Honourable members, we have done one presentation, and I'm going to ask Mr. Kekana to take us through the presentation. I think that much of what is in the presentation is already known to committee members because many of you participate in the Climate Commission where we have done such an update, but also much of this has been in the public domain. However, it's important that we give you an opportunity to interact further with this important content. So So, Chair, allow me to hand over to Mr. Kekana to make the presentation.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and committee members and Minister. I'll try to be as brief as I can. If we can just put the presentation in a different mode. Okay, now this is fine. And can we just move quickly to slide number 3, which is where we really start? All right. The way we structure the presentation is that we are going to briefly reflect on what we were asking for, or what were our interests at the COP, and what we got from the COP and did not get, and what are the implications, and briefly talk about the 8.5 billion offer. Members would recall that last year when we came to this committee, we indicated that we had 6 priorities or key interests that range from finance, mitigation, adaptation, loss and damage, reporting, and attaining the special circumstance for Africa. So on finance, you'd recall that we said that we want to secure new commitments on finance, and we want to keep the discussions on long-term finance going so that we can get clarity on the 100 billion that was promised in 2009 in Copenhagen. And on the issues of Article 6 or markets, we had said that we are aiming to conclude the modalities and procedures. Those negotiations have been ongoing since COP 21 from Paris, and secure some resources through trading under carbon markets to the Adaptation Fund. Next slide. On adaptation, we had indicated to the committee that this issue seems to be lagging behind mitigation, and our aim is really to make sure that you have a decision that start to operationalize the global goal on adaptation and put this issue squarely on the agenda. And on reporting, we had said that the task ahead is really to conclude the common reporting format so that we can be able to compare countries' efforts and because this is quite important when it comes to trust building. On mitigation, we said it's quite puzzling that the issue is not on the agenda while climate change continues to cause a lot of stress to developing countries. So we wanted to make sure that countries that have not submitted the enhanced NDCs do so, and that we also, because we had a short-term decision previously that asked countries to submit long-term mid-century plans, that we extend that mandate, because by the time we went to the COP, only a handful of countries had submitted such plans. And critical to this COP was the whole issue of recognition of the vulnerability of the African continent when it comes to impacts of climate change. And therefore, for the continent as a whole, we said that we want to finalize this whole issue of special recognition of Africa, securing the special circumstance of Africa. And we had explained to the committee that under the convention, the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, Africa is recognized along with the small island developing states and the least developed countries. However, under the Paris Agreement, Africa is not recognized. It fell off in Paris as we were concluding. the Paris Agreement, but we agreed in Paris to continue the deliberation on this particular issue. And next slide. So what are the outcomes? On finance, of course, we did manage to launch the discussions on the new goal, finance goal, that it's going to kick in 2025, following the expiry of this 2009 goal that we have of the 100 billion. So we managed to initiate those discussions in the COP. We also managed to agree to continue the discussions on the long-term finance for developing countries, particularly so that we can get clarity on the issue of the 100 billion. Where is it? When are we really going to realize that particular goal? Because now we have only until 2025 and we've not yet reached the goal that was meant to be attained in 2020. Key to the outcomes is the inclusion of the word just transition for the first time in the UNFCCC documents. So we expect to have a platform to address the issue of just transition and alignment of financial flows that is consistent with the pathways to a low greenhouse gas emission future and climate resilient development. So we expect those discussions to start at the next COP. We also saw pledges to the adaptation fund, which was quite empty, and the developed countries managed to raise around 450 million towards the adaptation fund. This is where we countries have direct access and can apply to get some funding to do some adaptation work, noting that South Africa under the previous agreements had already exhausted its 10 million that's allocated to that. However, the COP, we agreed to increase the ceiling from 10 million to 20 million. But that was quite a significant improvement. Next slide. On the issue of carbon markets, after 6 years of negotiations, we finally agreed to the broad parameters of how the markets will operate under the Paris Agreement. And we also agreed that the proceeds from trading under the mechanism or Article 6.4 mechanism, which is what we use, a portion of that will go to the adaptation fund. However, on the cooperative approaches, we also agreed that we would strongly encourage those that want to contribute to the adaptation fund to do that. So that was the outcome. And on the adaptation, Africa stood firm and negotiated with one voice, strongly so, led by a team of competent women. And we managed to secure a two-year work program for the first time to really start operationalizing the global goal on adaptation. And we expect further progress on these discussions at the next COP. Adaptation, as I said previously, is always lagging behind mitigation. And this time that we put it on the same footing with mitigation. And this is quite important for the not only South Africa, but for the continent as a whole. It's priority number one for the continent. On reporting, we finally managed with the assistance of our able team from South African negotiators to steer those discussions to a logical conclusion, where we now have the right templates that would allow us to compare apples with apples. Next slide. On mitigation, although we did not have any agenda item on mitigation, but we managed through what we call the cover decisions under the authority of the COP presidency to have some engagement where we agreed that we are going to have an annual mitigation ambition work program starting this year, and included in that is ministerial roundtables, so that we can assess progress on the implementation of plans that countries put forward. But we also agreed this important issue of keeping the whole goal of 1.5 degrees, or where we want to limit temperature increases globally to 1.5 degrees. We agreed to keep that alive, and we did that by making sure that we call upon those countries that have not put forward ambitious NDCs to do so as soon as possible and to report at the next COP, but also the countries that have not submitted 2050 strategies to do so. And we finally agreed that the implementation of these national plans, the nationally determined contributions, is 5 years, starting in 2031, we expect countries to put short-term plans, because currently it's a mixture of 5 years and 10 years plans on the table. And the biggest concern, particularly from the most vulnerable nations, including the small island states and least developed countries, was that there's high possibility of locking in low ambition if you put in 10-year plans. So we agreed that the implementation of the plans that we put forward, the implementation period, or what we refer to common timeframes, should be 5 years. And finally, on the whole issue of securing the special circumstance of Africa, this issue, as indicated in the presentation, remains unresolved. We could not reach an agreement. We got what we call procedural conclusions, where we simply said we came, we discussed, and we agreed to discuss this further at the next COP, which will be taking place in Africa. And this is quite important if you look at what is really happening, and not only in South Africa, but to the continent as a whole, where the vulnerabilities of our countries are really being exposed by these multiple tragedies that we have, such as floods and droughts. So those, in a nutshell, were some of the outcomes, but these were key in our mandate to the COP. Next slide. In terms of the implications of these decisions that we took at the COP, we are indicating there that South Africa is already implementing these decisions. For example, we have submitted quite an ambitious nationally determined contributions already in September 2021, and we've received lots of congratulations on that, because it is much more aligned with what the COP decisions from Glasgow are talking about, keeping the whole issue of 1.5 degrees goal. So our NDC is compatible with that particular goal. And on adaptation, the department has for a number of years been working with district municipalities and the provinces to assist them to formulate the climate change strategies, including the adaptation strategies. So we are on course when it comes to those sort of decisions. And on the transparency or reporting, last year, together with the NDC, we also managed to submit our fourth report, the annual updated report. This was already reviewed by the UNFCCC, and we had to present it to a number of parties at the COP. And we are currently working on the last report, which is the final biannual updated report, before we transition into the new system, the enhanced reporting system that we indicated in the previous slide, that we finally concluded those discussions. So 2024, we will be operating, we'll be transitioning from the system under the convention to this new system under the Paris Agreement. However, we are now concluding the fifth report, and South Africa is one of the few countries that have actually has submitted the fourth biannual updated report. Even some of the developed countries have not quite achieved that status. And of course, there's a number of teams within the department, and some of the things that we are doing include the climate change bill, which we think is key for enforcing implementation by all spheres of government. And members would know that this bill is currently in the legislature. Next slide. So on the whole issue of the offer by the international partner groups, which is a group of developed countries that signed a political declaration with the presidency to support our climate action with an offer of $8.5 billion. What has since transpired is that the presidency has established the finance work stream and appointed Mr. Minele to work on the details of the financial offer. So they currently, as we speak, including today, the Presidential Climate Finance Task Team is busy analyzing the offer with a view of advising cabinet on its composition, affordability, alignment with our regulatory environment, coordination with relevant government departments, and so forth and so forth. But in a nutshell, there's a team under the leadership of Mr. Daniel Minele that is looking at this particular offer and is meant to be reporting back to cabinet in due course. Next slide. Way forward, looking ahead to COP27, the conference will be taking place in Egypt, in Sharm el-Sheikh, in November this year. We usually refer to this as the African COP. Of course, the Committee of Ministers, the AMSEN, and the Committee of Experts, the Africa Group of Negotiators, will continue to represent the continent at COP27. Supported, of course, at the highest level by a committee of heads of state, so what is called CAHOS. And Egypt itself, as the incoming COP presidency, is currently providing space for informal ministerial engagements to prepare for COP27. And just to indicate that Egypt assumed the presidency of the COP on the first day of the start of the COP. So what this means is that we continue to be under the leadership of the UK until the COP starts in Egypt. But the current COP presidency and the incoming COP presidency work together for the preparation of COP27. COP27 itself will focus on issues that did not make sufficient progress and some mandated events. And key on the agenda is the whole issue of finance. We expect an increased new and quantified long-term goal for finance and clear signal that financial commitments by developed countries will be met. We would like to see a roadmap for how such support will be committed and delivered. And we remain increasingly concerned as to how these so-called new resources will be assessed by developing countries. So we expect once again the finance issues to take center stage, making progress on this new finance goal and getting some more clarity on where do we stand with regard to the 100 billion and many others, including the platform to discuss just transition and the alignment of financial flows with the midterm strategies and so forth and so forth. And as agreed in Glasgow, we expect to see good progress on the global goal on adaptation, what we call the Glasgow Sharm el-Sheikh work program, 2-year work program. And this being an African COP, this is where the bulk of the focus will be, making sure that there's progress. We agreed in Glasgow to have about 4 workshops per year, starting this year. Just to add to the formal discussions that we are having under the COP, so that we can make progress on adaptation. Because when you do an evaluation of the implementation of the entire global system, you look at three things. You look at mitigation, so how are we doing in reducing greenhouse gases, and how are countries building resilience, and the financial flows to support those. So if one of those is lagging behind, that becomes quite problematic. So we expect some progress on that. But of course, you can only do adaptation to certain points. Beyond adaptation, you go into permanent losses and damages due to climate change impacts. And this is where the discussions are also going to focus, because funding for loss and damage is critical, and this is a missing piece in the entire finance discussion. We always talk about financing, adaptation, and mitigation, but when it comes to financing for losses and damages, that becomes a missing piece. So we will be focusing on that under those discussions. We've already set up institutional frameworks, although those some of not quite in details, but beyond the institutional framework, you need to discuss the whole issue of funding for such losses and damages, but without tinkering into the whole issues of blame games, such as reparations and so forth. Next slide. Of course, for us, as I've already indicated, from the Africa Group of Negotiators, where South Africa plays a leading role, including leading the discussions on finance, we expect COP27 to really launch a finance track tool on just energy transition. We see this as a key outcome for COP27, establishing just energy transition financing framework to support some of the decisions that we took. You'd recall that in the previous COP, for the first time, the wet coal phase down entered the UNFCCC decisions. So we need to be having serious, robust discussions around those particular issues, and how are we going to attain that, and where is the finance associated with those sort of decisions. And also, since we are the host as the continent, we'll be putting much more emphasis on this Africa special needs and circumstance, just to bring back the recognition of the vulnerability of the African continent into the Paris Agreement, which is the issue that we agreed will continue to deliberate on during COP 2021. So we will do everything possible to make sure that we advance on the, on those discussions and possibly get a decision around that. However, I just want to caution that these positions are going to be refined, and would possibly be later in the year coming back to the committee with the final mandate that is much more precise. But broadly speaking, those are the parameters for the mandate for COP 27. We look forward to providing further progress on the negotiations. Thank you, Chair. Let me just double check. Yes, that was my last slide. Thanks, Chair, and thanks, Minister.
Thank you, Maricela. Honorable members, may I invite you to engage the presentation. Glenn Malepe, may you kindly switch off your mic? C-A-I-A, Glenn Malepe. Thank you. Can we note hands, honorable members? I see the hand of Honorable Bryant and the hand of Honorable Paulson, the hand of Honorable Phillips, the hand of Honorable C. In that order.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, thank you for the presentation. to the official. To be honest with you, I would have expected a little bit more of a sense of urgency, taking into consideration the current circumstances we find ourselves in with regards to climate change. You know, we are living through the impacts of climate change at present. We've just suffered an incredibly tragic event that is undoubtedly linked with the effects and impacts of climate change. And the feedback in terms of that 8.5 billion rand offer that the task team, the finance task team, is analyzing the offer with a view to at some stage advising cabinet. We need far more of a sense of urgency when it comes to making use of those funds that are on offer. So I'd like to know exactly how far along this process is, when that's going to go to cabinet, and whether or not we as the portfolio committee are going to have an opportunity to interrogate what is being presented as well. Because there are a number of things that need to be taken into consideration. When one looks, for instance, at the promises or the desire to increase accessibility to electric vehicles, for instance, that's all fine and well. But at present, we have extremely high taxes placed on electric vehicles being imported into the country. For some reason, electric vehicles are classed as luxury vehicles still. And that is something that needs to be urgently addressed before we even get to that point. The other thing that I think is worthwhile raising is the discussion around green bonds and how we increase our footprint in terms of green bonds in South Africa, and also what type of green bonds we are going to pursue. Are we going to be looking at sustainability-linked bonds or proceeds-linked bonds? I think all of these are related to how we intend on spending that money. I think the greatest tragedy will be if we don't act fast enough and we don't see the sense of urgency that is required in the face of where we currently find ourselves. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Brian. Honourable Paulson.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And please, I apologize for not being able to switch on my video. It's to save bandwidth. Chairperson, thank you very much for the presentation. And I think, you know, before we start interrogating how the money will be spent, I think the important question is, what is South Africa's climate mitigation strategy? That would then give us an idea as to, we could then attach cost to that strategy. We'd then be able to go and determine whether funds made available would then be sufficient for that strategy. So we need to, you know, it's all good and well saying what's an offer and us then going to listen to an advisory committee to tell us whether that money is sufficient. But we need a clear idea as to what the climate mitigation strategy is. What are the things we're going to use to reduce our carbon footprint? And yes, I concur with Honorable Brian to say that the taxes on luxury electric vehicles are high. But I think more importantly, we should be encouraging manufacturers to come and set up local production plants. That in itself would be a climate mitigation strategy. We can't be transporting vehicles across the ocean. We need to have them manufactured here, and that should be one of the key drivers of our mitigation strategy, is that whatever we are going to use should be manufactured locally. The technology should be available here. And also we should start investing in our own ability to produce vehicles. So we need to know more about what strategies South Africa will apply to address issues of climate change. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Paulsen, Honorable Phillips.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Chair, Acting Chair. Thank you so much for the presentation. I don't have a lot of questions. The one is on the carbon markets that was on page 5. I just want to know, are we actually promoting this as an income source to impoverished communities? And if so, has such information actually been made as a presentation to the committee? If it has, I apologize, because it might have been before I was part of the committee. The topic of the electric vehicles was touched on by my colleague, Dave Bryant, but I don't see much point in us promoting electric vehicles if we are fueling them with electricity that comes from fossil fuels. So we really need to look at how we're going to fuel those in a sustainable way. And then Honourable Paulsen also covered the presentation. It's a nice broad presentation, but it's fairly short on details. So yeah, I would agree with Honourable Paulsen. I think we need some more details. Thank you so much.
Am I next, Honourable Chairperson?
Yes, indeed, Honourable Chief.
Okay. Thank you very much, and greetings to all the minister, the officials, and all my colleagues that are online and everybody else. Yeah, Honourable Chairperson and colleagues, you know, listening to this presentation, and thank you for making the presentation, the minister and the official. You know, it brings a sense of despair to me. And I don't know if others share that despair. Words like promises, commitment, pledges. We want to see real action. And perhaps my first question should be, can we have just 5 examples of how funds that have been promised or pledged or committed have been used in the South African context for us to be able to make a contribution to reducing greenhouse gas emission, etc.? That, I think, will give me personally a sense of saying, well, you know, we've had these projects, this is how they've benefited us, this is how we're going to reduce the carbon footprint, and then it becomes a good story to tell. Now, I agree with my colleagues on the question of the motor vehicles and all the other questions, the strategy, etc., etc. But then there's the issue of solar energy, not only in a big scale, but for households. And, you know, we all aware when we drive through certain parts of the country, we see all these solar panels on rooftops. Now, is anybody monitoring whether they are being effectively used, or where there are some companies and individuals who made a fortune, quote unquote, to install these things, and then you just forget about it, and then communities do not glean the benefit of having all these major solar panels, which are becoming like our national flower, dotted all over the country. Which department is responsible for that? Is it Department of Energy? Is it the Department of Environment? Is there any synergy between all of them to talk about how we could introduce some of these carbon footprint reducing measures at a very, very localized level before we talk about partnerships of billions of dollars or run? Then the next question I think that will follow is We've had these commitments from the past, from Germany and other countries. When projects that would contribute to alternate sources of providing energy in our country are introduced, are these projects that are managed by the overseas companies? Are the funds given to South African companies with perhaps technology from overseas? Or is it those companies that come in here and then they get these funds that have been allocated? And then lastly, you know, I saw a headline in the business report yesterday, Transnet to prepare for more coal. And then, you know, it just gives a sense of, okay, are we exporting more coal or are we using more coal here in the country? Because that is our biggest source of you know, polluting the environment and causing untold harm to the health of thousands of people, particularly in the Mpumalanga region. So give us some comfort, Honorable Minister and the presenter, that all these, you know, COPs of from one to now have produced some positive results in ensuring that we make a contribution to the climate and we don't have the kind of catastrophes that we've had recently, which were directly as a result of climate change. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable C. Honorable Mkunu.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you for the presentation. My question is on the department working with on the adaptation, working with the district municipalities, is to check how far the number of district municipalities maybe that they've been able to achieve the strategy that is being formulated, the adaptation strategy, and also to propose, Honourable Chair, that apparently all the work that talks to the issues of COP 27 and the previous conferences, we do need as a portfolio committee and also the department the collaboration of other departments. If you look at what the question that I've just posed, I know that we will need the COPTA next to us and also other departments like energy. And the last one, Honorable Chair, is on the Africa special needs and circumstances. I just want to check if we now have started the engagements and some formulation of the presentations and the needs and the assessments that are going to benefit us in the coming COP 27 conference, and that we need to have some specific needs that will assist Africa to benefit, in particular South Africa and Southern African countries. If we do have that, maybe can we have also more engagements on that one as the portfolio committee, so that we are able to input also, and so that we are able to discuss these issues and have a positive contribution that is going to assist Africa and South Africa in particular. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mkunu. Honorable Mbata.
Thank you, Chair. Morning, everyone. Thank you for the presentation. I just want to ask if there is room. Yeah. I just want to ask if there is room for South Africa to reduce its carbon intensity without hurting the economy and the job losses. And again, when we are going to COP 27, what decisions going to COP 27, what decisive action does South Africa need to take to
to halve emissions by 2030 and reach net zero emission by not later than 2050. Because as you know, we still have Eskom that is producing coals. We still have communities that are still using coals, and you see the people that are selling on the streets. They use firewood to prepare their food. So there's still a lot of emissions that are coming from South Africa, including also the industries, because we've got lots of industries. And when we come to industries, what mitigation plans do they have as the industries? And again, when we look at the issue of the the hydrogen, green hydrogen-based products, how much demand does South Africa have on those green hydrogen-based products? And the other thing on the issue of the municipalities, what is the M&E tools to monitor the implementation of the municipalities? Because they are the implementers on the climate change mitigation plan, if they are being implemented, because those plans might be there, but you find that the municipality doesn't budget for it. They will say they don't have funds. I'm talking, for example, Metro, the biggest metro in South Africa. They are running on the zero budget, so I don't think they will implement the climate change.
What are you talking about?
I think, thank you there. Nazir, close your mic.
M, please be kind to switch your mic off, M. M, please be kind to switch your mic off. Right. Honorable person, is that a legacy hand?
Yes, it is a legacy hand. I was just trying to understand what Honorable Mbata was saying. It just didn't make sense to me, Chair.
That's fine.
Doesn't make sense to you. It must make sense to the department, not you.
Honorable Minister.
Chairperson, thank you very much, and I'm going to hand over the team to deal with the substance of the questions. What I think is important, Chairperson, is to remember the topic that we were asked to produce for today. We were asked to report on the climate change negotiations at COP26. We were not asked to report on South Africa's climate change strategy and South Africa's progress in meeting its mitigation and adaptation objectives. If the honourable members want that presentation is always available, because that presentation is a priority of the department. That work is a priority of the department. And I think that perhaps that is what Honourable Bryant and Honourable Singh had really wanted to hear today, and we're very happy to do that presentation anytime, because there is urgency that is happening with regard to our domestic interventions. And I think that the chair of the committee has just come from a two-day workshop that the Climate Commission had last week on Thursday and Friday, where consultation is taking place across the country on exactly what does the Just Transition Framework look like. For the first time ever, the Climate Commission has been going into communities that are dependent on the coal value chain, on the mining value chain, and on other areas of high carbon economy, and has actually been discussing with those communities what does a transition from a high carbon economy to a low carbon economy look like. And I think that that reflects the urgency with which all of us are taking this important matter. There is extensive work that the Climate Commission is supporting that is looking into 7 vulnerable sectors of our community and mapping out pathways. As I've explained in the public domain in recent times, we have worked with 44 district municipalities across the country to develop climate response strategies. And I think I am on public record more than once in saying the reason we need climate bill so desperately is that the climate bill makes it mandatory for all levels of government to budget for climate change mitigation and climate change adaptation. And I think what we all understand is that inside of the country, the work around climate change has to begin at home. It's not dependent on international negotiations. We do need international financing and international support. But the primary strategy, the primary conceptualization, and ultimately even the financing has got to begin at home. And that is something that I think we are very, very conscious about. I think that anybody who has attended the COPs will understand that international negotiations move at a very slow pace. And the reason they move it at a very slow pace is that essentially they have to work on consensus. And building global consensus around these issues is complex and difficult because every country has got to take account of their own domestic needs and circumstances. And I think that what one can understand is that anybody who looks at that process would view that process as being relatively slow compared with the climate emergency that the world is facing. And I think that COP26 did make progress. It maybe didn't make as much progress in all areas that developing countries would want, particularly when it comes to support for the special needs and circumstances of developing countries and the financing of those special needs and circumstances. But I think that the fact that we finished the Paris rulebook was significant and important. So I just want to say, let's not have expectations of this presentation, which might not be appropriate for the topic on which you asked us to present. Let me hand over to Mr. Kakana. I think he and the team will take you through all the questions that you've asked.
Marcela? Before that, I see the general is beaten by technology. Can I invite you before we get responses, Honorable Olamisha? You are still muted, Honorable Olamisha.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, for accepting me or allowing me back in the system. I concur with the Honorable Minister that the Council on Climate Change, which is advising the President, had a successful meeting last week, and it has been consulting with the community. But what I can share with you is that there might be a need for the relevant portfolio committees like GMR, Department of Environment, those portfolio committees and other related committees should meet together and try and think from one simple. Because if you listen to the Minister of Energy, that is Mr. Mandashe, you will find that sometimes he's contradicting what the Department of Environment is promoting. So we may need to invite the portfolio committees and ask the Departments of Environment and GMR, as well as Vali Musa's Commission on Climate Change, to come forward and brief you what the feeling is for the communities, so that we don't run parallel processes here, but we speak one language from day one, which will culminate in this proposed legislation. That's what I wanted to share with you, and also to say we are running out of time, and we cannot only just as members of parliament be told when we are on the eve of attending another COP, whatever number. What is needed here, when we come back from that COP convention, let us hear the program. Who is going to be approached? Who is a polluter? Have the Department of Environment approached those people? What have they done? That's what the people want to hear. Thank you.
If we are agreeable, can that be noted as a resolution of the committee that will exhaust the possibility of inviting other stakeholders, the Vali Musa Commission, the Department of Minerals and Energy, I'm sure Treasury takes keen interest, and others, so that they are able to brief the committee on the work that is being done and that we are reading from the same page. Maisela Kekana?
Thank you.
Don't forget Salga also, as part of the municipality.
Thank you, Chair, and honorable members, and apologies if this presentation did not inspire some confidence. But as the minister said, this was about the United Nations Framework Convention. And the reason that we do these COPs is because, as all of you would know, that climate change is a global issue, and it can only be solved through global solutions. Hence, the discussions or the negotiations are largely around creating global frameworks and reporting systems, and creating enough peer pressure, and talking about resource mobilization, transfer of technology, and so forth, and checking whether there's delivery on all those aspects. So that was the context of the presentation, but it is also the context of the negotiations themselves, as the minister has said. And just to answer one or two questions that are quite specific to this global discussions, and that in particular relate to the question that Honorable Phillips asked around the issue of carbon markets. What is the purpose and the role of carbon markets? Really, when this was agreed to first under the convention, was to assist countries to attain their mitigation targets. For example, a country can invest in another country where it can do some mitigation efforts and so forth. And we see such corporations continue to increase globally. And these were quite important then, because they had an element of technology transfer. When developed countries come in to invest in a developing country, that is where that technology transfer would be realized. But also, then the trading that comes out of that, then a share of proceeds would also go to the adaptation funds, where then you have this global benefit, where even a country that is not involved in that particular transaction can tap into the funding that is available to do its own adaptation actions. And the rest of the questions, of course, they are more domestic focus. I will just perhaps, with the permission of the minister, hand over to Mr. Jongi Witi to talk briefly about our mitigation strategies, but noting that this presentation is not really about that. But since he's on the platform, perhaps you can share a little bit of light on some of the issues that we are dealing with as part of our mitigation strategy. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Good morning to you. Good morning to Honorable members, and good morning to the Minister and colleagues. Yes, on the aspect of our mitigation plan broadly, you will recall that...
Do you want to switch your video on so that we know who we're talking about or who we're talking to, John Ikai? Yeah, there we are. Nice.
Thank you, Chair. So you'll recall, Honourable Chair and members, that in 2020 we deposited to the UNFCCC our low emissions development strategy, which outlined what are the mitigation instruments that we will be using to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions over time. And subsequent to that, at least in that strategy, there are three important mitigation instruments that are defined. One is what we call the sectoral emission targets. Those are targets that we will be imposing to sector spaces, especially energy, transport, agriculture, land use, and so on. Then the second mitigation instrument is what we call carbon budgets. Those are emission limits or greenhouse gas emission limits that will be imposed to industry, especially big emitters. And then there's also the carbon tax. Honorable Chair, you'll recall that last year we presented to the Portfolio Committee exactly what the carbon budgets are, as well as what are the steps that we'll be taking in actually developing them, and also for the imposition of those limits to industry. Subsequent to that, we were granted cabinet approval to start implementing the framework for allocating of carbon permits. So in this financial year, we are in the process of determining those carbon budgets. Of course, we do have existing carbon budgets that are on a voluntary basis, simply because we are still waiting for the Climate Change Act to be enacted. In terms of the sectoral emission targets, last year, Cabinet approved the framework that outlines exactly how we will allocate carbon sectoral emission targets to policy sectors. We've started that process of determining what those policies and measures that will inform those sectoral emission targets, as well as starting to quantify what those sectoral emission targets could be. So our main focus, for example, in this financial year is an emphasis on the energy sector, because that's the biggest sector in terms of emission reduction potential. The second one is the transport sector. So again, we have a focus on that. We have a focus on the agricultural sector, the land use sector, and human settlements, because these are the five sectors that are key, including the waste sector, that are key in achieving our emission reduction goals as stipulated in the NDC and other strategies. So in a nutshell, those are the aspects of our mitigation plan, Chair. Thank you.
Marcella, does that summarize the responses to all the questions honorable members have asked?
Precisely, Chair.
Honorable C?
Yeah, I'm just trying to unmute Honorable Chair. No, thank you for the responses. But I just want to know still, you know, there have been grants before. There were grants by the, I think that were promised or concessional loan finances from the German Development Bank on the issue of green hydrogen-based products. Now, have these loans been granted to South African companies or German companies or other international companies that operate within the South African scenario? I'd just like to know, when this money comes, who is going to handle this money?
overall, you know, the country would benefit from reduced carbon footprint. But I'm just trying to see also the economic and social benefits for local communities and companies here from utilizing these grants to promote, projects that will fall within what the United Nations and everybody else wants. So can there be some clarity in that regard?
Honorable Brian.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, I asked quite a specific question, which was around the $8.5 billion offer. I don't think it was answered. And that is, what is the timeline in terms of developing that plan and strategy and presenting it to Cabinet so that we also, as a portfolio committee at some stage, will be able to interrogate that information and whether or not that would be part of the presentation mentioned by the Minister. And then I'd also like to know, when did the most recent meeting take place between the South African negotiators and this international negotiating team that's been set up? Are these ongoing meetings? When was the most recent one that happened in terms of that? Thanks very much. And can I also just say, I hope the Minister gets better soon. I'm sorry to hear that she is feeling unwell. Thanks.
All right. I see the Minister's mic is, video is rather on. Should we start with myself and then the Minister will summarize?
Maybe I should come first, Honorable Modise.
Because you are a bit ill, Minister, we'll allow you.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Brandt, for the good wishes. My senator tells me I've got 3 years worth of flu, so I mustn't complain because I haven't been since 2019. So I guess we all have to update our immune systems at some point. I think that there is an important linkage between the issues that Honourable Singh has been raising and the issues that Honourable Brandt has been raising. And I think that if you look at the working guidelines for the just transition, there are really 2 points that we have discussed in Cabinet. The first point is that workers in vulnerable sectors of the economy cannot carry the burden of the transition without also having access to opportunities. The second point that we've discussed in Cabinet is that as we approach the issue of the just transition, we've got to make sure that by introducing green technology into the economy, we are not just changing technology. We're also dealing with some of the abiding constraints of inequality, unemployment, and poverty that confront our economy. Because unless we are going to ensure that the transition enhances economic inclusion, that it brings about new industries with new owners, and that most importantly it brings about new jobs, then really we are not achieving the full potential of the just transition. Now, if you want to do that, what you have to understand is that there are aspects of the transition that can be funded in the market. So if a particular company wants to make an investment in green technology, they can do that. But that investment would not necessarily benefit the existing workers in the company who might be trained and might be operating on a high carbon technological system. So there's an issue of upskilling and reskilling workers for new industries. And there's a question about who's going to pay for that process And who's going to make sure that it happens? And that may not be a process that in every instant private investors would be willing to finance. So when we say, Honourable Bryant, that we need to be interrogating what's on offer, what we want to know is how much grant financing is there? How much loan financing is there? How much concessional financing is there, and what are the concessional rates of the financing? And once we have all of that information from the international partners, we would then be in a position to say, how does all of this match with the regulatory environment of the economy, of Treasury, but also how does it help us with our just transition objectives? So I think we agree with you that speed is important.
Just a minute, Minister. iPhone 08052. Vena Kobesa. Please switch off your mics. Thank you. Please proceed, Minister.
Thank you very much, Chair. So I think we agree with Honourable Bryant that we want to get on with this process. And we want to be able to take a decision. Is this offer worth looking at? Is it not worth looking at? Does it fit with our regulatory environment? Yes, we agree with you. But I think that what I'm trying to share with you is that there is nuance and quality to this decision that really relates to the points that Honourable Singh and others have been raising in this conversation. Because if we are going to have green vehicles, electric vehicles, what is the point of closing down the internal combustion engine car manufacturing sector in our country, throwing tens of thousands of workers into the street, and then buying vehicles from a developed country? Surely the responsibility we have is to say that given the fact that the European Union has introduced a constraint that post-2035 they will no longer accept imports of vehicles with internal combustion engines, surely the fundamental issue that we have to deal with is how do we transform our vehicle manufacturing industry so that in due course we can meet global demand for electric vehicles. So I think that the issue of speed is important, but the issue of the nuances and the quality of the decision is also important. I want to suggest, Honourable Singh, that we have had a lot of bilateral financing that has helped us in a lot of our climate change work. Most of that financing has been grant financing. We are dealing at the moment with the SIF fund and the $2 billion which is intended to support the energy transition. And there is grant financing there, and there's also concessional financing there. And that is money. It's a second tranche of money that we've applied for. I think that we can easily find more than five examples. And I want to suggest that we should supply you with that information. Mr. Zahir Fakir is not in this meeting. He is our international finance expert, and he would easily be able to supply you with that information. And there are a number of really important adaptation projects, research projects, including, by the way, all the work that's being done on the Eskom power stations that are due for decommissioning. All of that is being financed through multilateral grant financing that we have secured. And that money is really important because we are looking at the value chains around those power stations. We are looking at how they could be repurposed for alternative forms of power generation. But we're also saying, what kinds of upstream and downstream industries could you develop in those particular locations, so that not only are you making sure that the workers who are in the existing power stations maintain their jobs, but you're also answering the question about what about everybody else in the value chain who either works for Eskom or an Eskom supplier. So I'm not negative about the opportunities that this money presents us with, but I am realistic that we have to look at it properly. And we shouldn't rush looking at it properly, because there's a lot of skepticism out there that this is virtual money, that it's only loan financing, that it's going to worsen our sovereign debt situation. I think these are really important concerns. They've got to be properly interrogated and properly addressed. And we've got to ensure that all this work that the Climate Commission is doing in determining, together with civil society and organized labor, what a just transition looks like, that can actually be implemented. Because otherwise, what is the point of all this consultation if you're not now trying to say, okay, if this is the first tranche of money that you've got, how are you going to actually use that money to implement the very framework that our society has been determining? What I think is complex about this is that it hasn't been done before. I think the reason why other countries in the world now, Indonesia, Vietnam, Egypt, are looking at South Africa is that they are interested in understanding what this money or similar offers could mean for their own economies. But they're also interested in understanding how can such a complex transition be negotiated. And I think that the role of the Climate Commission in this process is invaluable, because this transition is not a government transition. It's a whole of society transition. It has to involve the private sector. It has to involve organized labor. It has to involve civil society. And it has to involve all levels of government. And when you're dealing with such a multiplicity of actors, it's very important that you understand where everybody is coming from and you start to develop programs that will give meaning to the different interests that exist out there. I hope that Chair, I've managed to shed some light. The actual timeframes, Honourable Bryant, those are within the presidency, but I think that what we all understand is that there has to be urgency about this matter. We all understand that it's very important that we get on with the process of repurposing the power stations that are due for decommissioning. We all understand there's energy poverty in this country and we need to enhance energy security. So I think that there is general agreement that this process is very urgent. I don't think one can give you dates today, but I think one can say that obviously once this matter has been to Cabinet, we will always come and share with the Portfolio Committee. Thank you very much. Mr. Kekana, I don't know whether you or your team would like to add anything.
Just to say, Minister, that...
Hold on, Mr. Gekana. Who is this person of iPhone 082-5524156? May you kindly focus in the meeting because it's really causing some disturbances. Please proceed, Mr. Gekana.
Thank you, Chair. I was just saying, I think Minister gave a comprehensive answer just to add that as an answer to that particular question, that the reason why our colleague is not here is because they are meeting today. Because Honorable Bryant asked when was the last recent meeting, and I can assure you that they are meeting today. Thank you.
Should I take it that there are no further follow-ups, Honorable Members?
Chairperson.
Honorable Singh.
No, thank you. I just want to appreciate the response by the Minister. It sheds a lot of light on this issue, and if we can be briefed regularly on that basis and get the information sent to the committee, I think it will help us a lot. Thank you.
All right. Any other further clarity-seeking questions, Honorable Members? Silence is golden. I take it that there are no further deliberations and engagements on the presentation. If we are agreeable, can I receive a round of applause for running a meeting for 1 hour?
You don't teach fish how to swim. You don't praise fish to swim.
It's only today, Chair.
Yeah. I don't wish that Honorable Mutambi must be sick again, but it is clear that I'm Honorable Members, with that being said...
Chairperson, sorry. I don't know if we've covered that aspect of the 8.5 billion. We've heard a lot about it, but was there somebody else that was going to present from the President's office, or was it what we heard and commented on? I just want to know that from the point of the agenda. Thank you.
Chair, through you, I think that we had combined the presentations, Honourable Singh. At this stage, there isn't really more information than what we've put available to you. And I think that we will obviously keep the committee briefed on progress, and as soon as there's a decision, you will be the first to know.
Thank you, Chair.
All right. Honourable Members, that brings us at exactly 11 o'clock and to the end of our meeting. I know there are many plenaries that are proceeding on the other platforms. I wish all members well, and have a great day, and the meeting stands adjourned. Thank you very much.
Mandla.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. You know what this Mandla is about. Minister, you need to go to the doctor urgently. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Singh.
You must also take Lingana.
Thank you.
Because of Oscar's victory there in the Eastern Cape, Minister. Like some other people.
You know, I'm a person who I put every day.